I'm seeing your lovely name, but not your lovely face.
Oh, hi, it's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
How are you doing, Coach Pamela?
I'm good, I'm good. Brandy, hi. It's awesome to see you.
Great so, to see you.
Yeah, so Wendy, are we going to see your face or are you just going to go on audio?
I don't know. I thought, how should I do that?
Okay, are you on your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just take your mouse and mouse over the bottom of the Zoom app, and you should see it on the left-hand side, like a little camera, a little video camera icon. It probably has a red line through it, and if you just click on it, it'll turn it on. Are you seeing it?
Oh, yes.
There you are.
Hey. Hey. Now I know where that camera is.
Exactly. Well, hello. It's so lovely to see your face instead of just hearing the voice on the phone.
Same.
Yeah. So Brandy, meet Wendy. Wendy, meet Brandy.
Hi, Brandy. Hi.
Hi. And our other person who's with us right now, Kendra, is not able to join us today, but this is where we're starting. So
okay, cool.
We're small and mighty just to begin. So this is lovely for you guys, right? Because
yes,
you get all kinds of like personal attention in this. So thank you for like just kind of rolling with it as we begin the Reinvention Launch Club. And so we are recording this, so you guys will get a copy of both. I think we'll embed the video on the site when it's live, and then we'll also send out an audio so that you can listen to it later, which is always really helpful because, as you know from coaching, a lot of times when we're in the midst of coaching, you're like, oh, this is really good, and then afterwards we're like, what did you say? What did you say again? What was that insight? So you can always go back and listen to it later, so that's always a good thing. All right. So what we're going to do today is, you know, we're just going to kind of go through a little bit about what you guys want to accomplish over this next year. And as you know, I'm here for you. I've talked to both of you. You both will also be working with Coach Corey. You know, Wendy's already had a session with her. I can attest to how fabulous she is.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Corey is awesome. Like, matter of fact, she was even giving me a little bit of coaching the other day. I was like, oh my God, I love it. So
yes.
Yeah, she's really good. So this, you know, when we have our sessions together, so the way this will work in the club is that you guys will have a group session with me once a month. You'll have a group session with Coach Corey once a month. And then you'll also have access to have an individual session with Coach Corey. So there's lots of coaching. And then once we get the site live, you'll be able to come in and chat with us there and all of that other good stuff. So there's lots of support. So you can consider this sort of the beginning of the next phase of your story, right? That's really what this is about, is that you guys are writing a new story, and this is the first chapter. And so when this starts to happen, it's about sort of kind of laying out what you want, you know, where you want this story to head, how you see it structured, and I guess what the high points would be, like what would be the ideal, the end, as the credits roll for you. So we can kind of begin this as a framing for our next year together. And then from there, obviously things will evolve, but you know, it's just a matter of beginning by setting a frame. And then I'll coach you through all of this. If you have questions, you can ask me. So today, you know, these calls are very organic. They'll probably, today's, since we're small and mighty, it'll probably be a little bit shorter than it normally would be, but I'm guessing, you know, around 40, 45 minutes, usually about an hour. You know, we have that container, but we'll see how long we go, okay? So we can just flow with it. All right, so, well, you know what? Before we even get into that, let me tell you a little bit of logistics, okay? So as I said, I'm working with the tech people in the back end to get the site live. Once that happens, you'll get access in a dripped fashion to some of the content that we have around the different aspects of reinvention. And I think both of you have had a chance to kind of look at different things of that, but there'll be exercises, there'll be audios, there'll be worksheets, there'll be videos. You can do as much of them as you want or just use them as a guide. Pick up what works for you, set down what doesn't work for you. It's your own guided journey through this. So that content that we'll be providing is really very much just to help you, to give you some insight. And then you can also bring that in to these calls. And if you, there's something you read or you're like, you know, I want to know more about this, you can bring that in and we can talk about it here as well. So that being said, you know, all of this will be kind of going live over the next few weeks. Technology is its own animal and its own beast, right? Yeah. Okay, so first Thursdays of the month at 2 o'clock will always be this call with me. Third Thursdays of the month, also 2 o'clock, will be with Coach Corey. Reinvention office hours, okay? You will schedule your, we'll send out once a month, it's the same link, you'll schedule with Coach Corey at your convenience, depending upon her availability. And then, as I said, we'll have the boards and all that other stuff. That's kind of the framework. And if you have any questions, you can always email me or you can email Nikisha, the project manager, and you know we'll get back to you and help you out with all that stuff. So I think that's it. Oh, no, one other thing that I always begin in coaching is that this is a safe space and it's really important to say that and anchor in this safe space, okay? Because this is a space for you guys to be honest and transparent and to be able to create in the way that you want to create. And oftentimes when we're in the world, we don't necessarily get the support or the safety to dream as big as we want, okay? Or if we're in the midst of a dream and it's still a little messy, like the messy middle, then people are like, well, what's going on with that and this and that? So this is a space where you get to be in the messy middle, where you get to kind of brainstorm, work it out, all that other stuff, both here in these calls and on the board. So the importance of that is to say that what we say here stays here, right? Like they say in Vegas, what happens here stays here. what we say here stays here. And the other thing is that we don't talk about who we see or meet in this space outside, because not everybody shares with their world that they're working on a reinvention, right? So if you happen to meet in real life, right, as they say, you can always say, oh, we know each other through Coach Pamela. And that's it, right? So that's the way of holding on to that type of privacy in this world. Okay, so are you guys okay with holding this safe space and holding this confidentiality?
Absolutely. Yes. Sure.
All right. Okay. All right. So let's dive in. And I think, Brandy, you might be a little frozen. I'm not sure if your camera's frozen or if you're just really serious.
Am I live now?
Your voice is live, but your video's a little frozen.
I'm sorry. Let me see if this helps. Hang on a second.
Okay.
How about this? Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better, definitely, from a video perspective. Okay. All right, so let's dive in. And since you guys haven't really met yet, why don't we do a little bit of a round robin and I'll ask each of you to give us like sort of the 2-minute version of you, your life, and kind of how you come into this reinvention. Does that sound good? Okay. All right. Because I've got framework, but neither of you have framework, and that's not fair. All right. So Brandy, why don't you begin?
Okay. And I don't know if the other coach told you, but I can only be on this call until 2:30.
Yep.
And I'm sorry about that. But
no worries.
Okay, so yeah, I am in the middle of a reinvention, really. My spouse took a job in another city, which was necessary because of a licensure issue in the state that I currently work in. And so I am faced with having to get another job pretty quickly. and sort of having feeling like I was stuck for quite some time because my career, I have an MFA in directing. I have a desire to direct for stage and screen. And I've been working a lot in the industry, but as a talent producer, talent manager, really working a lot in casting, and not as being as creative or on path as I've wanted to be. And so when I started working, I met Pamela about 6 months ago at a retreat. And when I started working with her, my big goal was to sort of make that in this real life career transition to also make a transition towards being on path with my artistic goals. So that's kind of in a nutshell how this started. And then as we've moved forward, I've also gotten some sort of frustrating health diagnoses and some financial issues that I've really just gotten exacerbated. And so I'm really trying to fix a number of things in my life that aren't working.
Right. Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's, you know, what I love about this moment for you, Brandy, is that, you know, this is kind of the essence of reinvention, right? Like we start to pick certain areas of our life, but then we see that in reality, we have an opportunity to overhaul a lot of things. Right. If we do it in a very sort of clear way, we can use that key overhaul as a catalyst to make all different kinds of changes. So we're not trying to do a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here. You know, our effort can be channeled and we can end up having a really masterful result across the board when we do it in an intentional way. And that's, if I were to encapsulate what you're doing, is that you're making an intentional change this time.
Right? Like it.
Right. That's what's happening. So awesome. Thank you for that summary. Okay, Wendy, you're up.
Hey, so my background is in business. I've been in the healthcare business side of healthcare for the past 25 years. I'm just going to move into another room so I can close the door here. Okay. I need to close the door. Okay, guys. I apologize. I have housekeepers here today.
Oh, I understand that one.
I mean, and I love when they come. So,
but
it's hard to, it's hard to like kind of work around. So I'm in my mid 50s, have always, you know, been very career oriented. I have a great family as well. Husband, two kids. We live in Miami, Florida. And so I've always had, you know, the typical trajectory of, you know, being promoted up through the ranks to senior leadership positions, working on the insurance side, and then joining a large physician group and working on the provider side. So during the past, I would say the last year and a half or so, have undergone a lot of transition. I've been downsized. I have been let go unexpectedly. You know, really threw me for a loop because these kinds of things had never happened to me before. And I realized that a lot of my identity was really tied up in that persona and who I was at work. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I think, you know, that it didn't come without a cost, but I'm very thankful for the freedom that I have in being, you know, plucked out of that corporate environment that had become very cutthroat. And it sort of, you know, it seeps in and you kind of don't even notice it after a while as much. You just become a part of that. And you know, I've always been a good person. So it's not that I turned into a bad person, but now that, you know, I'm out of that, at first I didn't know what to do. I opened my own business last year in the summer. It's going well. So I have a healthcare business consulting business, LLC, And I have a few clients, you know, and that's where all my background is. I've always had a passion for teaching, and I've never taught in the school system before. However, with the Parkland shooting, you know, a week or so ago, and I'm sure Brandy, you've heard about that. I know Coach Pamela has. You know, God is putting on my heart. I don't know. I might want to go into the school system. I might want to do something with guidance counseling and teaching. I'm a private tutor now. I coach and I tutor public speaking, reading, writing. I was an English and economics major. My graduate degree is in business. So I tutor economics. But my real love is English, reading, writing, speaking, communications. So I love the fact that I'm able to share, you know, to help other people now with something that comes easily to me. And I'm really all about, I mean, my purpose now is just to, you know, get clear, you know, get clear, because I've got this one foot in healthcare, one foot in teaching, and maybe I'm okay just where I am, but it feels very uncertain right now.
Yeah, exactly. So you're in this amazing stage of taking off the old identity. First of all, even waking up to the fact that there was this old identity, like it was so you that you didn't even realize that it wasn't really you.
Right exactly.
Right. So once all that got taken away, stripped away, you're in the process of really creating you, right? Of saying, who am I, in this discovery process? And then much like Brandy saying, I want to pursue my passions in the world. Here's the way that I'm meant to contribute. And I need to see how I can put that into place, make that real, right?
Right.
That's really what this is about, is, okay, here are the things that I'm doing because this is what I've done. And yet here's what calls to me. And how do I actually move towards what calls to me? So if we were to kind of like bring all of this together, it's almost like the end of this year that both of you want to be doing what you're called to do, right? Like out in the world, having that, living that, breathing that, you know, getting to experience those feelings every single day that, you know, being in path and in passion allow. So that's the beginning of this journey, right? All right. So let's talk about barriers for a moment. And what each of you see your barriers as, the things that like you're going to need to work on both externally and internally. Okay. So we're going to work on two different levels here, right? Because usually we think about the external ones, like this, 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 or we're all about internal, this, this, this. So we're going to go at it from both sides this time. Brandy.
Oh, goodness. That's a lot, Pamela.
I know. Hey, you know how this rolls.
Well, I mean, I think my external barriers are a lot easier to put into words. I think being that I went to graduate school at a theater conservatory. So, you know, I got a lot of experience in the theater. And what I found was I love it and it doesn't pay dick. And so I really sort of started making a transition later in my career towards film and television, because that was an area where I thought I could make a living. And I've worked a lot in television and I really enjoy it, but I have a skills barrier. Because my training was in the theater, There's a technical barrier in terms of working with cameras and editors, and there's a lingo and things that I've slowly absorbed some of, but I'm not a master of it. And so it's very hard to sell yourself as the leader, as the director, as the chick in charge, when you're still learning that part of the craft. And I can't very well go back to school. I still owe, you know, a bazillion dollars in student loans for the last time I went to school. So I have to find, I have to cross that barrier in other ways. I have to get that training, and so that I feel confident putting myself in situations where I can lead and I can be chosen to lead. And so that's sort of my external barrier. I think another external barrier is finances. I'm in a lot of debt. And when you're trying to produce things like a short film or a reel or a piece to kind of forward a career like mine, a lot of times you have to self-produce. And that requires capital, that requires investors, that it, you know, requires money to make those sorts of things. And so that's been a hurry up and wait for me. I'll get a great idea, or a friend of mine will hand me a wonderful script, or somebody will ask me if I want to be involved in something. And they're like, you know, can you go in on this financially? And I'm like, no, I can't. I can't pay for this. So that's another barrier that I've struggled with.
Okay. So those are both, I would say, external barriers, right? So both the skills piece, you know, learning the craft to a certain level where you can be, as you said, chick in charge, which I love it, as well as the financial barrier to solve the problem of funding the shorts that you'll need to demonstrate that you should, or that you have the craft to a level at which they should give you a shot. So those are the two external barriers that are, I would say, hurdles to overcome. What about the internal?
I think that I have an internal barrier that's also an external barrier. I'm in love with someone who can't live in the major market. So like, while I really need to be in New York or LA to pursue my career, she doesn't have licensure in those places. And so it's kind of challenging. We keep moving to cities that are kind of B markets. We were just in Atlanta, now we're in Washington, DC. And there's opportunities there, but not at the same level as New York or LA. It's probably an external barrier more than an internal one. But so there's that little hurdle that I keep coming up against. And then there's a very internal barrier of the fact that I have anxiety. And almost to the point of, at times, a panic disorder. And so there are a lot of things I think a lot harder than they have to be, because I emotionally, I struggle with coming up against challenges in a way that, you know, the average person might just be like, oh, fuck it, I don't care if they like me or not. I struggle with that. I struggle with not being seen, not being understood, and if I think that, you know, someone doesn't understand where I'm coming from, it can be extremely anxiety producing.
Okay. So the internal barriers have to do with managing the anxiety levels, the internal space, so that you can continue to move forward. Because if all your energy is spent managing the anxiety, then there's very little energy to actually create.
Right.
So that's one of the big internal barriers. And that is the challenge of anxiety, right? It starts to drain all the creative energy out of you. Even though there may be pathways through, you can't see it because the anxiety is kind of creating this fog between you and, you know, the solutions, the creative solutions, right? And then, of course, as you said, the second sort of internal barrier has to do with what I would say is permission. I would call that permission. So by that, I mean the need to have others understand or support usually comes when we are not giving ourselves full permission, right? So we're seeking external permission in some way, shape, or form. And so permission is one of those key things from an internal perspective when we're pursuing our reinvention that gets challenged, right? It's a very common piece because oftentimes we don't get external support for what we want. So we have to build that internal permission muscle, which says, this is what I need for me, and I can give myself permission to pursue that. Now let me find a way to do that that's healthy for my life, right? So it's not always about destroying, and that is a belief system that we have a lot of times, that when we give ourselves permission, it's inherently destructive to our life. So we won't give ourselves permission, right? Because when we are afraid that others don't support us, then we only see the destruction. Does that make sense? Right? So we won't give ourselves permission to do it. If we give ourselves permission to do it, then we get to see how we can bring others along or create space for them to have their feelings and not be responsible for them managing their feelings, allowing them to manage their own feelings and to have the choice of bringing themselves along, if that makes sense. It's a scary spot to be in, right? Because we want to take that responsibility or make sure, but really every person's journey is their own. And it's when we make that shift of giving ourselves permission that the people opposite us have an opportunity to grow, right? In our growth, they have an opportunity to grow, right? So for you, it's both managing that internal space, keeping the anxiety levels under to a manageable level so that you can access your creativity. And then also really fundamentally giving yourself full permission to move forward, which is also a way to access creativity. Does that make sense? Because without permission, you won't find the solutions. Or step out so that the other person can make their own decision and the solution can come in. So you end up in a stuck spot.
Right.
So the lack of permission makes you stuck because you're trying to, you can't make yourself happy because you haven't given yourself permission. And you can't really make the other person happy because you're miserable.
Right.
So, okay. So that was a little bit of unraveling that spot, but just knowing that those are the two key pieces of your journey for this year is going to be helpful to you. Okay. Because what we learn in these internal barriers is that it's kind of like different notes of the same song, so that once we will continue to hear that song, right? It will come in different ways and we'll be like, oh, I recognize that melody. Right, it's that song again. And then we get a chance to work through it in a new way. So for you, it'll be different layers of permission coming through, right? And it'll be different ways the anxiety shows up. And getting the tools and putting the structures in place that can help that. Okay, awesome. Wendy, yours.
I can so relate to the anxiety piece. Definitely that's an internal barrier for me too. I'm very hard on myself. And one of my friends challenged me yesterday and said, you know, well, Wendy, you know, prove it to me. Why should you be making anywhere near the amount of money that you made before when things that have happened to you that have been outside of your control largely, I mean, why should you be in a different situation than you are now? And he said, you know, act like I'm a defense attorney and I'm asking you, you know, to prove it to me. And I realized, you know, I mean, I started my business last year in the summer. I mean, external barrier is money. I want to be, and I'm not even motivated by money. That's like the funniest thing because But I guess it's always been a way that that I've known I was valued. And now that I'm not making the money that I was making before, I kind of like feel like a failure. Like, it doesn't make me feel successful. And my self-esteem is not, I'm like I said, I'm really not even motivated by money. I'm motivated by learning and growth and development and by helping other people to be successful. That's what I love to do. But I guess I have always, you know, I like making money. I like having money. I like, you know, I don't like not, I and my husband, no one's putting pressure on me to make money. No, I mean, we have bills like everybody, but, you know, and right now I'm pulling out some savings to make the bills every month, but I have, thankfully, I have the savings there that I can do that. It's not a huge amount. I don't need to be making a lot of money. I don't need benefits. I don't need retirement. I've already got that. My husband is already, you know, in a great situation. He'll be retiring in 3.5 years. So, I mean, and he's going to be out. He can tell you exactly how many paychecks he has to go before he gets to say adios. But I think I'm going to be somebody that's always going to want to work in some way, shape, or form because it feeds me, you know, and I like to work. So external barrier would be I don't feel successful because I don't have, you know, 10 clients right now. I have 2. Internal barrier is I'm very hard on myself and that anxiety of feeling like I'm not sure of my path. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of uncertainty and I don't want to give up the healthcare piece. I'm really good at it. I have a lot of relationships in that world. And I don't want to give that up. And I've built that, you know, that career. And at the same time, I love that I'm finally teaching now. I'm finally working with people. And even though it's as an independent tutor, I'm kind of excited about thinking, well, what would it be like to, you know, just get a teaching certification, go into the schools and try to make a difference. And you know, so I'm talking to people, I'm talking to teachers, I'm talking to kids. I'm saying, what's your experience like? And of course I hear more negative things than positive. So that makes me question.
Right. So I hear a couple of things, but what I'm hearing, so some things that you're saying are external are actually sort of external they're internal masquerading as external is what I would say. And one of them being the definition of success, right? The external piece of that is the world saying you should be successful, right? In a particular way. The internal piece of it is accepting the world's definition of success. So it's two sides of the same coin, if that makes sense. Like the world telling you you should be a specific place is one barrier. The internal piece of that is believing it, right? Because the world can be telling you that, but you don't actually have to believe it. You know, I'm interested in this person who said to you yesterday why you should be this way. Can I ask, what was his motivation? Like, what was he trying to show you by asking that? Okay, but Brandy, you have to go.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. I'm honored, Pam. I love you. Brandy.
Okay, good luck
to
your
meeting.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Hi, you and me.
So he was coaching me. He's a coach and also a friend.
Okay. So was he trying to have you see that your expectation of where you were wasn't really matching what was happening in the world? Is that what that was about?
Yeah. I think he was trying to break through my frustration with where I am in my life right now, currently. Mm-hmm. And what he said to me was, maybe you're exactly where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And that was a big aha.
Right.
I had never thought of it that way.
And
then he gave me a good analogy, and he said, you know, a hydroplane, you know, the plane that goes on the water, you know, it needs to ramp up. I mean, the engine needs to get ramped up to a certain velocity before it can lift. And then once it, and that takes time. And once it lifts, then, you know, it's in a different place. He said, my first year of my business, I made $27,000. Mm-hmm. We did not make our bills. Mm-hmm. My second year, I made about $75,000. That was okay. Mm-hmm. My third year, I made more than I ever thought in my wildest dreams.
Right. Okay.
Right. So I think he was trying to challenge me to say, you know, maybe you're okay where
right.
you are.
Yeah. Right. So he was trying to get you to see that you were in the gaining velocity phase, which had been so long since you'd been in that from a corporate perspective that you forgot.
Yes, that must be it.
Right?
Yes.
Right? That's right. You forgot all that time that you spent getting to where you got to.
And I've worked my whole life. I've always started at the bottom and worked my way up. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I could forget that. But again, you know, Coach Pamela, my identity was so wrapped up.
Right.
When I got to the level that was my goal and where I wanted to get to, that senior management level, I guess I did forget. Mm-hmm. And then that all went away.
Right. Right. The external piece of it went away.
Right.
That's right. And you were faced with, who am I? And instead of taking the sense of identity from the person who had created that, from the creation process, you took the sense of identity from the actual result.
Oh, I love that.
Right. Right. Right.
I feel like you just gave me back myself.
Yes. Yes.
I really love that.
Yes. Nice. So that's where it sits, right? It sits in the you who creates, who can create. That's where the identity sits. And so if you decide you want to create this successful healthcare consulting business, you can. Or if you decide you want to create teaching in a way that's satisfying to your soul, you can. It's you who's creating, and you can create multiple things. And then that just means that if something outside you changes, you still get to take the you who creates with you. That's where the real power sits.
So now, as you're talking, there's a little voice in my head going, but do I trust myself?
So therein is the internal barrier, right? Therein is the internal barrier, is the level of self-trust and belief.
Yeah.
Right. So do you trust yourself? That's a good question to ask. Yes or no?
I do, but I know that I've always doubted myself more than I should. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to being very hard on myself. Mm-hmm. And having really high standards. Because I think it's fun to have goals and to have big goals and to work hard and to get to your goals.
Yes.
And hard work always pays off. And I'm a worker. I'm a hard worker. So But I know that, you know, that's one of the areas I've always, you know, been able to improve, is that I do doubt myself.
You know, when I hear that, what I hear is that as much as you like to learn, that you don't allow yourself the time to learn. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because learning is always a part of getting to a big goal. It just is, right? But it's almost like in the part of you that expects yourself to be there, it's deleting the learning phase. Like you're supposed to get there without the learning. And there's no joy in that phase. In fact, somehow you've told yourself that something's wrong with you for that phase. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
It's like what your friend was saying to you. Like, this is a phase, just like when you built your corporate career, you had to learn a lot of different things in order to get velocity. That's true of any creative process, whether it's creating a new career, creating, you know, something in a relationship, whatever you're looking to create, there's always a lot of learning that has to happen. You know this because you teach it to others, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can't get an A on the test until they've learned, until they've been taught, until they've practiced. But when I hear this, it's almost like, and by the way, you know, I'm with you on that, sometimes wanting the A without the learning, without giving myself time to learn, practice, you know, see the mistakes, correct, all of that. I want the A without any of that phase. That's the ego piece.
Right.
So what if you weren't going for the A?
You know, I think that would open up a whole new life. And I'm getting a taste of that now. Uh-huh. I mean, because today I sat down and I ate and I had lunch for 10 minutes and I didn't finish it, but that's more than I've done for a long time where I skip lunch. I just keep going and working and, you know, cause I'm busier than I've ever been now. It's just a different, I'm not driving to an office back and forth and I'm not driving out and, you know, doing client meetings and stuff like that, but I'm really busy with stuff, you know, with the clients I have, and I'm busy with, you know, different with students and lesson plans I'm doing, and, you know, a symposium I'm planning and boards that I'm on and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't like this. I don't like this pace anymore. Do I have to do this still? I mean, no. So I can't, I just, it's hard to relax sometimes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that drive, that hard work.
Drive.
That
yes.
Drive, right. It's like the drive has taken over, and instead of being a choice, it now becomes a compulsion.
Yes.
Right. And then you look at it and say, wait, this energy, is this really how I want to be living? Like, do right. I want to be like in the passenger seat of this car driving itself, right?
Right.
Because that's what it feels like. It's just got its own momentum and you can't until you move into the driver's seat.
Right. And I am, mm-hmm. you know, that's but right. It's taking time.
That's right. That's right. Well, and the very fact that you sat down and had lunch is huge because that's a choice,
mm-hmm.
as all of it is, frankly, right?
Mm-hmm.
All, how we relate in the creative process, how much we enjoy that creative process, how much we sit in that space and really dive into the space that's there is always our choice. There's nothing that says that this time of creation, this time of when you said you're not really sure where you're headed and it creates some anxiety, and that's the ambiguity, right? But it's also, if you look at the flip side of ambiguity, is possibility, right? There's all kinds of possibility floating around you that you get to explore. That's the learning. Like if you sit in the learning seat of this, it's like, wow, you know, I get to explore and create. But that requires actually not letting the energy drive you, but you sit, you know, consciously saying, I'm going to enjoy this phase of learning and creation because that's where my identity comes from, as opposed to the goal. And here's where I ought to be. And now there's a gap and I am being driven because I'm feeling the gap.
And thank you so much for saying that, because I am a very creative person. We all are.
Yep.
But it's, you know, that's been dormant. It's been one of those, you know, delayed passions. Oh, well, you know, I mean, it comes out in different ways for me, you know, with, you know, I love to read poetry. I love to decorate. I love to, and, but so true, because that all went to the back burner as I was building my career and becoming this, you know, really tied into the result, as you said, versus the, where it came from.
Right.
And that's getting reversed now.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
And I had, for example, I had a conversation, a short conversation with my priest yesterday. Was not planned. I just went into church to drop something off and he happened to be there. So, you know, we talked, this was maybe a 10-minute conversation, but, you know, he told me about an opportunity, you know, to do some tutoring in connection with a community service project, because that's what I, you know, so that would give me, you know, so I would write a grant, and it would be a program, you know, that it's up in Quincy, Massachusetts, but a program like that, you know, that we would start down here, where I would do some tutoring in, you know, a wealthy, you know, in connection with a wealthy area church. Uh-huh. And then for every client that I had there, I would also be able to do it at a church in a poor neighborhood for free. And I was like, wow, yeah. Wouldn't that be so cool if I could do that?
Yeah. And therein got presented creativity and possibility, right? And learning, right? Because you'd have to write the grant, I'm assuming, right?
And that's exactly what I said too. And I said, you know, I'm editing a book for a friend of mine right now. She hears, because it's a God thing. Mm-hmm. She hears very well, but she doesn't write well. I have trouble hearing, but I write beautifully and I love to write. And that's exactly what he said to me. I said to him, you know, and that would be learning for me too, because I've never written a grant before.
Exactly.
But I have so much confidence in my ability to write, because my whole life, everybody's always wanted me to write things for them. And oh my gosh, you write beautifully. And I know I do. And I love to do it.
Mm-hmm. So you just, like, you have that confidence. How about you expand it to your ability to create? Right?
Right.
Same exact thing. You've created your whole life. You know you can. You love to create. like your eyes light up. I can see it. It's like, ah, yes, I get to do this. You know, it's fun. And that's where the joy sits, not in the gap. When you start, I mean, the goal is good because it's the rudder, right? It helps us direct ourselves. But when we spend our time looking at the goal, it becomes like the horizon that it continually moves and we never get there. And that's hugely anxiety producing. So it's once you've kind of set the goal of, I want to explore teaching and see how that might unfold, then you put it aside and you step into the present moment so that you get the joy of the creative process. Right?
And I feel that feels really good, saying, you know, I want to explore teaching and I want to see how it unfolds. That feels good. That kind of takes the pressure off me feeling like it has to be something that I turn into something successful.
Right. Right. That's right. And even that definition of success, how about you set that aside for the time being? Because you're in a moment where you're going to have the opportunity to redefine success. The challenge is that you're trying to take your old definition and put it on this new space. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. So that's why you're looking at the old markers. And that would make sense because you haven't learned yet what the markers are here. So you're taking the old markers with you. And of course, it's coming up short because those are the markers for that space, not for this
space. Exactly. I went to like a mixer last night, healthcare. This is a healthcare thing, a networking type of a situation. And I was glad I was there because, like I said, I don't want to let that go yet. At the same time, I could not wait to leave. It just felt stale. And I brought a friend, and it was a really great event for her because she has her own business too. This audience is people that she needs to be talking to for what she does. And she wants to get out there and do more speaking. So, and they wanted her to come speak. So for her, it was a huge success. And that I was really happy for her for that. But it wasn't for me. It just felt really stale, kind of. So
I'm going to ask the question, because the part of you that is reluctant to let go of the old identity, this is part of the journey, right? And oftentimes we're afraid to let go of the old identity because we don't know who we are without it.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll invite you to explore being willing to let go of that identity. Doesn't mean that you stop your consulting at the moment, but what would happen if you let go of that? Like, who would you be?
Well, then I don't know. It feels like I would be a different person, but the same person I've always been.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But like tomorrow I'm supposed to have lunch with a guy. He's, you know, vice president, population health, very connected. He's building a commercial accountable care organization. And he is telling me, and he and I have, you know, I've introduced him to some doctors and some people that I know on the payer side. And he wants to do stuff with me. And he's like, Wendy, don't give up. Don't give up healthcare. Don't give up your, you know. So I know that when I go to have lunch with him tomorrow, he's going to be like, you know, pinging around with all the stuff that he's doing on the healthcare space. And that is going to just click in for me like an automatic. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we could do this because business development, that's kind of the way I interact with people now.
Right.
From a business development perspective. And then there's money. There's a potential for a lot of money if we get a group of 400 doctors to come into his ACO and he gives me 20%. But then something is there like, I mean, I don't know, like every time I've done something for money, it's not the right thing. I have to be careful of that.
That's right.
I just that's why I don't think I'm ready to give it up yet.
So it's interesting. So this is really an exploratory process for you, right? And that's the thing, because your intuition knows that if you do it just for money, it won't work. It won't be satisfying.
Correct.
Right? But it's interesting that you land on, that's why I can't give it up. You see the dichotomy in the two? Because that part of you is really clear. I have to stop allowing money to be the reason. And then the other part of you is like, we need to rethink that decision. So that's the real battle.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the hard truth.
right. That's the hard truth. Right. That's right. So sit with what the real battle is. Okay. Because as long as it's kind of a hidden battle, you can't move through it.
Couldn't I land somewhere in the middle, like where I would have enough money?
But I heard you say that you already have enough money.
Well, it's not as much as I would like.
Well, yeah, that's like. Like is different than enough. See, the problem with money, as you're defining it, is that it's a success marker. Okay? In which case, there never is enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that gap doesn't get filled. The gap between, I want to make sure I have X amount of dollars in savings so that blah, blah, blah happens, that gets filled. That can be met. But I just want to feel like I'm successful?
No.
No. Now, what I would invite you to consider, I see this, I'm like, I have 1 minute left. Okay, so what I'm going to invite you to consider is, if you earned that big amount of money, is there something that you could take and do in your new world? Like, could that be a funding of something new? Like, play with that.
Okay.
Okay? To see, you know, could I start something over here? Could I do, then it becomes part of the creative process, as opposed to trying to fill a gap that it can't fill.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it starts to have a purpose of launching you to your next phase.
Instead of chaining me, like being a chain on my ankle.
Exactly.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh my God, it was great. And I loved seeing your face. This is so awesome.
Same here.
Great. I see the name and, you know, of course we talked, but just to be able to like be face to face was just such a joy.
Thank you.
And a blessing too.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So as I said, We're still setting up the system, so we'll get this recording out probably early next week.
Okay.
We'll do that via email, and then I'll keep you posted via email also when we get this whole tech piece lined up, and then we'll send you the link so that you can schedule your regular session with Coach Corey, and we'll also send a reminder of that call, the group call for her, which is the third Thursday, but just mark your calendar anyway.
Okay, and your group call is the first Thursday, her group call is the third Thursday, and then there's some individual sessions with her.
Yeah, you'll have an individual session with her every month. So it's, so what happens is that for at least 3 weeks out of the month, you'll have a group, you'll either a group or one with her, if that makes sense. So, yeah. And then a week to go do stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Enjoy the rest of this glorious day that we are having here in South Florida.
You too. It's hot again.
I know, right? Okay. Bye.
Bye.